Because do you know why I've had lots of photos with pastors?
No.
You know my dad was a pastor?
No, I didn't. Is that for real?
He was a Presbyterian pastor in Pennsylvania.
I had no idea.
And my grandfather? He was an evangelist. Do you know that?
No, I had no idea, Alice.
There you go. People don't know a lot about me. You know, Thomas there, thinking I'm on the devil's side? Well, I'm not, sir.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. So what's your first album you ever bought there, David?
My, well...
Besides mine.
ABBA Arrival, actually.
Okay, that'll do me. Goodbye. If you say you went to their concert, I am leaving.
No, I never went to their concert.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. ABBA Arrival.
Yeah.
Do you still listen to it?
I don't mind a bit of ABBA every now and then, but I've got a daughter, so I can get away with sort of listening.
Your first concert?
My first concert? Well, it's interesting. I've hardly been to any concerts in my whole life.
Oh.
I sing at church every week. I love it.
I've heard you do a bit of singing. Yeah, we'll get on to that soon.
I think we've got to cut to my talk
pretty soon. Oh, okay.
I went to this Christian rock festival called Woodstock. When I was a teenager. Black Stump. And so it was this thing out Richmond Way.
I can see how
you
get the two mixed up. Woodstock, Black Stump.
And so basically...
Did Thomas put you up to this?
No.
To keep mentioning Woodstock? We got the Woodies here.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry you never made it to Woodstock. It grieves me.
Well, I'm not sorry, Dave. Yeah. I made it to Strawberry Fields Festival.
Okay,
do you know that? Have you heard
I've
that?
I've heard of it. Was that in Canada itself?
It was in August 1970. Were you there?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, let me cut to the chase. You've got these pictures here.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why you didn't do one on Strawberry Fields Festival.
Well, it wasn't relevant for today.
Well, you know, I grew up in a pastor's house, so maybe we could do the talk together, and me, now.
I'd be happy to, but let me go with what I've got for now, and then maybe next year you might get an invite back.
Oh, well, I might come back. I might be playing somewhere else.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Anyway, lovely to meet you, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Sheath.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. So, I want to take you back to the summer of 69. So the American summer of 69. Do you know what happened, what music festival happened in the summer of 69? No, that was 70, wasn't it? Aren't you saying, which one, when was the summer of 69 was? Woodstock. Oh, there you go. Now, I want to ask you, there were two other great events that took place in the American summer of 69. Anyone know what they are? Yep, Pat. Man walking on the moon was the second one. What was the top thing? Is it, no one knows? A little boy was born into the world. David Sheath. Around this, in the weeks of the moon landing and Woodstock, I was actually born. So I wasn't a product of the love at Woodstock. I was born around the same sort of time. Now, in the months after Woodstock, two musicals came out about the man Jesus Christ. Who can tell me what they were? One's really easy. Jesus Christ Superstar was one. Godspell was the other one. And both of them took a take on Jesus that emphasized Jesus the man, Jesus the real man, the man who knew temptation, the man who knew weakness and so on. Now, I've printed up some of the Aussie, New Zealand, UK people. How did you go filling that in? We're going to do a quick run through. Did anyone pick? So, Jesus Christ Superstar came out in the early 70s sometime. And then it took off in Australia. Does anyone pick who was the Jesus amongst the faces that you saw there? Not John English? Johnny Farnham, right? He didn't actually play in the stage production, but he was in a concert of Jesus Christ Superstar. So number three, Johnny Farnham plays Jesus. Number four, Tim Minchin. Now, I've got a dispute with you here, Cheryl, because I read that Tim Minchin played Judas Iscariot. So Judas Iscariot actually tends to be the main character in Jesus Christ Superstar, or the one that everyone wants to play. So you've got Jesus, and say loosely based on the Jesus from history. Then you've got Judas Iscariot, who was the man who betrayed Jesus. Who did you recognize as a Judas Iscariot here on this little handout? John English, number 9. John Stevens played Judas. He's number 1. Tim Minchin, who is number 4, played Judas Iscariot. And there's one more. Jai Lagaya. I don't know how to pronounce him, but he played Judas Iscariot as well. The man. And so Jesus Christ Superstar is much more sympathetic in its reading of Judas. He sort of misunderstood Jesus, but in the Bible it actually says he corruptly betrayed Jesus. Okay, so who else did you got? Number 2. Who's that? Michael Caton from The Castle, yes. And he actually played a priest. Well done. I didn't think anyone would get that. So he played a priest, one of the religious authorities who orchestrated the death of Jesus. Then number 5, who have you got for her? Mary Magdalene. And who's the Marcia Hines played Mary Magdalene. Number 7, Mel C, who is also known as Sporty Spice. Now, I reckon if you got that one, you're a legend to pick that one. Anyone buy a Spice Girls album during, you know, life? No. Okay, well, not admitting. All right, and there was also another Mary, Kate Sobrano, down the bottom. All right, so there's a couple of characters left. I don't reckon anyone's going to get number 8, but did anyone get number 8? Who did that? Reg Livermore. And who did he play? King Herod. Yeah, Reg Livermore played King Herod. And there's another Herod there. Andrew O'Keefe. The guy you see on morning TV and so on. Did anyone get a score of 18 or so if you add them up? You can tell me later and you can boast and you can feel good about that later on. How did we go? What, you get 18. These guys got 18, so I reckon they're the winners unless anyone comes in. You got 18 as well? Got Tim Minchin wrong. Okay, very good. All right, so what I want to do with you is just think about, so Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, these two musicals come out about Jesus the man, and it's sort of captured in the words, "He's a man, he's just a man." Who knows who sang those words? Mary Magdalene. You know, "I don't know how to love him. Do, 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 do. He's a man, he's just a man. And I've had so many men before." Okay, so, thank you very much. Eat your heart out, Alice Cooper. Can I just say, Alice Cooper, did you know, where is he? He's not here, he's hiding. He is going to play Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar coming out on Easter Sunday on NBC in America, right? So Alice Cooper will play Herod, the king who executes Jesus. I know you're on the side of Jesus. You know, you're just playing a bad character for the day. All right, so come back to the quote. So "he's a man, he's just a man." That's sung by Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene in the Bible, when you read the real historical account of Mary Magdalene, she was a devout follower of Jesus. But history has sort of portrayed her since as a prostitute. Now, she wasn't a prostitute. Jesus did know prostitutes and he showed a lot of compassion and care and restoration to prostitutes. But as far as we know, Mary Magdalene herself was not a prostitute. But in Jesus Christ Superstar, they sort of fuse a couple of characters together. So she becomes a prostitute who becomes the love interest of Jesus. She surprisingly falls in love with Jesus, and so there's this sexual tension. But I just want to pick up on that phrase, "he's a man, he's just a man." Now, the Bible agrees with half of that statement. The Bible agrees with the first half, "he's a man." Have a look at the quote from Hebrews chapter 2. "Jesus Christ had to be made fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful mediator, and that he might take away the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." You hear what it's saying is that for Jesus to do what he came to do, for Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of humanity, he had to be a man. He had to be fully human in every way, and he was. He knew temptation, he knew weakness, he knew what it was to be tired. He was a man, no doubt about it. But he was the man, the only man, who can actually stand between us and God and bring us into relationship with God. You know, our sin has broken our relationship with God. Jesus comes as the perfect man to restore our relationship with God, ultimately by dying on the cross to bring us forgiveness. So the Bible says he's a man, but he's not just a man. He is the only man who can actually deal with our problem before God and restore us to a right relationship with God. Come on to the next quote there, Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh, wow, that was echoey. That's really cool, Jeff. Who are you? What was you sacrificed? Anyway, they never had me on the stage show, so because I wasn't. But that sort of kicks in towards the end of the show. How does the musical end? The musical ends where? With the crucifixion scene. That's what happens in Jesus Christ Superstar. That's what happens in Godspell as well. And I've never been to any of the musical productions, but I've seen the two movies based on Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar. And they both end with tragedy. You get this great man, Jesus, a man of compassion, a man who's misunderstood, and ultimately you're left feeling somewhat tragic because he takes on the corruption, he takes on the power brokers, but the power brokers win. They crush him, conspire against him, and they kill him. And so you're left with a sense of tragedy that, yes, here is a great man, an inspiration, but he's just a man and nothing more. Who are you? What have you sacrificed? What does it all mean at the end of the day? Now, there is a difference between the films and the stage shows. Who can tell me what the key difference is? It's something I never picked up when I watched the movies that you will pick up when you watch the musicals. Do you want to have a guess? Who said that? There was words of a prophet that just go, a prophetess, an encore, right? So in the films, the credits roll, Jesus is on the cross, and you're going, oh man, that was an anticlimax. That was a tragic end to the story. But in the musicals, in the stage productions, Jesus comes back, right? Jesus is the last one to come on the stage, and by then the music is cranked up. You know, Jesus Christ, and you go, yeah, and the crowd erupts in, you know, in absolute enthusiasm as Jesus comes back. And for the Christians, they're going, yes, yes, Jesus did rise from the dead. Now, here's the thing, when you look at the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus is not just, it's not like an encore, it's actually deeply written into the script of Christianity, so that if you remove the resurrection of Jesus, Christianity is nothing. Christianity stands or falls on the historical account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he rose from the dead, Christianity is worth pursuing wholeheartedly. If he didn't rise from the dead, give Christianity the flick. Why would you bother about Good News Week? Just get on with your life. Have a look at what the Apostle Paul said about this. On your outlines there, can you see that over the page? If Jesus Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. If Jesus Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Jesus Christ, we Christians are to be pitied more than all men. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Can you see what he's saying? He's saying the whole of Christianity hangs on the historical resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus rose again, death has been defeated. If Jesus rose again, sin has been paid for. If Jesus rose again, the doorway to eternal life has been opened. And if Jesus has risen again, then we will one day stand before God to give an account. If Jesus rose from the dead, you must do something about it. And I know that there are many of you here who are persuaded, who as adults you've looked at it and you've gone, yes, I am convinced Jesus rose again from the dead and I'm a follower of Jesus. But there's some of you who've never actually taken the time to look at the evidence. And that's what we want to invite you to do. We'll keep on inviting you to this course, Simply Christianity, where we just look at the historical documents for Jesus. We know that we can't force anyone to believe, but we would love you to check it out because we think the historical evidence speaks for itself. And if you give an honest inquiry to the Lord Jesus, you'll find that you'll be persuaded that he is more than a man. Yes, he's a man, but he's not just a man. He's God's son. God come amongst us to deal with our, sin and to bring us into relationship with God. So I'd love you to come and join us. Hand back over to you, Alice.